Welcome to Minnesota Jazz Legends, The Elders. I'm your host, Patty Peterson. In Minnesota, we are very lucky to have many jazz musicians and singers who have performed for most of their lives, and some right into their 90s. It's always amazing to hear their stories, and in this show, we will hear from several legends from previously recorded interviews and live-in-the-studio performances. We will learn about their start in the jazz scene, their challenges, and finally, their continued passion for this art form. Our musical guests are familiar to many, and we hope by the end of this broadcast, you will feel as though you will all know them better. I invite you to sit back and listen to our Minnesota jazz legends, James Cornbread Harris II, Miss Doris Hines, Percy Hughes, Cliff Brunzell, Jeannie Arland Peterson, Les Fields, Irv Williams, and Russ Moore, Kenny Horst, and Gary Berg. As we all know, timing is of the essence, and while preparing this show, we unfortunately lost a couple of our jazz legends. Since they were playing brilliantly into their 90s, we have kept them a part of this presentation. This show is brought to you by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and KBEM. Minnesota jazz legend James Cornbread Harris II joined us for a live in-studio concert. James Cornbread Harris.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
I understand you didn't originally come from Minneapolis. You came through Chicago. Is that right?
Chicago, Illinois.
Did you come from a musical family, Cornbread?
No. I didn't come from a musical family.
Well, what happened? Did a lightning bolt hit you and go, you're going to play music? Or?
Well, I don't know. That spaceship that dropped me off, I don't know.
I see. Likely story.
Yeah.
So you found your way from Chicago to Minneapolis. Can you remember what year?
Well, I have a very poor memory. I like not knowing stuff.
What about some of the clubs you may have played when you came to Minneapolis?
Uh-huh.
Can you remember some of those names? Did you?
I don't know. Have you got a phone book?
Oh. Did you play mostly kind of blues kind of music?
No.
When you first came up, what did you play?
I played country western music. That was my thing, man. I mean, if you get you any kind of a thing going, you got to branch out, you know. You got to go to St. Paul, or you got to go, oh, that's where I am? No.
So you're in Minneapolis. Play me a little country.
A little excerpt there.
Wait a minute though. You have this name about being into jazz and blues. When did that happen?
Okay. I took my country songs over on the Rondo Avenue, Selby Avenue, Grand Avenue, Concordia Avenue, and they said, "What in the heck are you doing? What kind of music is that?"
Really?
Yeah, really. I said, well, what kind of music? He said, come over here and listen to the jukebox. So I went over and listened to the jukebox, and they were saying stuff like, I get so tired, I can hardly stand up. Well, yeah, that's true. Get so tired, I can hardly stand up. You know what?
I know that feeling.
You know the feeling?
I do.
Yeah, it makes you want to give it up. So I put that in my country songs, and they said,
you?
Hey, that's what we're talking about. I said, okay, so I'm playing the blues, right? So I get a bunch of people together, and we played that, and I started out the night with something similar to that. The jazz people come along and said, why don't you put, why don't you put that in there? I said, okay, I'll do that. Said, what some of the ideas that this group has given me, two times through, come on with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was one of your segues into playing more jazz.
More jazz,
blues?
Yeah, more
sure.
jazz.
Can you remember a club that you might have played?
Let's see. Nikki's Cafe. That was my big holdout thing.
Okay. And yeah. Nikki's was located where?
2nd Street and 1st Avenue. And I played down there many years. I think I got a hold of one or two of these guys that have been with me ever since. Oh, I did a place at the time on the lake called Loring Pasta Bar.
Do you have a favorite place? When you think back in your history, do you have a favorite place you played or a favorite concert that you remember?
I remember playing Upper Peninsula on the mountain. I remember playing Duluth Festival a few years. I remember playing the State Fair at one of those little side places. I said, have you got a phone book here?
Yeah, right, okay. Well, we can get some of those places because I know some of them. They're in a wonderful book through the Minnesota Historical Society as well, but it talks about jazz in the beginning. Do you remember when you came to the Twin Cities at all? What year? I can't recall what I read last night.
Oh, you read stuff about me?
I read stuff about you.
Oh, no.
Man. And Augie Garcia, right?
Augie, oh, man. River Road Club, Mendota, Minnesota.
There you go. Yeah, Riverboat Mendota. Club, Mendota.
Oh, man. What, 5 or 6 years? We played 3-4 nights out there. We had to go through the Hall Brothers place up on the hill.
Yes, I remember it.
Through the parking lot to get to where we played at.
And you were there a long time. You packed the place, right?
Yeah, we
packed it.
Yeah. Well, it changed hands, so Augie and I and the rest of the group went up and down West 7th Street playing for the gangsters, Kit Kan and the boys. That got to be really a nice thing. It did. I mean, you got $100 tips and stuff.
I know you have a couple of kids, and they were musical too, right?
Oh, I have a child named Jimmy Jam. I don't know if everybody heard of him.
Yeah, not
oh,
sure.
Oh, you did? Okay, good. I'll tell him you applauded for his name being said.
Yeah. And you have a daughter too, right? And was she equally as talented?
One of my daughters was very talented, sang in church. I got another daughter. She played in a play that I played in. Interview with Paul Robeson. I was Paul Robeson's piano player in the play. And I did it with a fella named Paul, which was kind of funny, but, Paul Mabon, a singer, just extraordinary.
I want to know if you have some CDs that you've recorded. You don't have to have them with you.
I want
you to tell our listeners.
I could have left them home.
I just want you to brag about yourself.
Brag? Only thing I got to brag about is how blessed I am. That's what I got to brag about. The talent that God gave me, and that I get to use it to entertain people in the world.
I am wondering if you would mind saying your age.
Well, I'm trying to get to 88. April 23rd, I'll be 87. And then I'll be, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Well, never mind.
Exactly, right? Ladies and gentlemen, right. James Cornbread Harris II, for some more music.
Oh, they asked me, how come you got the name Cornbread? That's right. I was called Huckleberry Finn before that. Yeah, I was. I went to a day camp, Phyllis Wheatley, and I was running late. My grandparents by that time had taken me in because I lived in many foster homes in Detroit, Michigan, Denver, Colorado, where they make the cars, that Detroit, okay, Omaha, Nebraska. I lived all over the place in different kind of homes. So I didn't get stuck with this is the way you're supposed to be raised, this is the way life is and that. I learned all kind of different ways, which is putting me in good stead right now, because I'm not trapped in a certain way of you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way. So that's why I was able to get my country tunes into the blues, because I could change it over. See? And I'm telling you young folks, younger than me, don't get rigid. Always keep an open mind. I had a drummer that decided, well, why don't you write some more songs, Cornbread? I said, well, what should I write? He said, I got the beginning of it. I said, what's the beginning? Put your earplugs in. Cornbread in the morning! Cornbread every night! Cornbread in the forenoon! I said, what kind of song is that? I said, well, I'll add to the song. Everything will be all right. Said Cornbread. 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 Love that good cornbread. Collard greens and cornbread. Chitlins and cornbread. Lobster tail and cornbread. Black-eyed peas and cornbread. Oxtails and cornbread. Hog maws and cornbread. Turnip greens and cornbread. Baked beans and cornbread. Hominy grits and cornbread. Big feet and cornbread. Pork chops and cornbread. Monkey hips, cornbread, baby, cornbread. 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 I love the cornbread. Episcopalians like cornbread. Southern people like cornbread. Lutheran folks like cornbread. Catholic people like cornbread. Methodists like cornbread. Seventh Day like cornbread. Christian Science like cornbread. Apostolic like cornbread. Beatniks like cornbread. Hip cats like cornbread. Buddhists like cornbread. Jewish folks like cornbread, baby, cornbread. 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 Love the cornbread. Scooby dooby dooby scooby you bob. Scooby dooby dooby scooby you bob. Scooby doo, scooby doo, scooby doo. Scooby dooby dooby scooby you bob. Cornbread. Guitar play. Cornbread.
Cornbread.
Yeah, yeah, that's me.
Thank you, thank you.
You are listening to Minnesota Jazz Legends, The Elders. Our next Minnesota Jazz legend is saxophonist and vocalist Percy Hughes. Percy was what they called a triple threat, being a musician, vocalist, and a great baseball player.
School was my beginning, and my brother also a trumpet player, and that got us rolling. Professional music, travels with music, kept me going that way. Oh yes, I was in an army band, and that's where I really knew what I wanted, because I was acknowledged, you know, pretty solid. And I said, well, this is for me. And it was easy, because I was respected as a musician early.
So when you came out of the Army, did you have a decision to make whether you would...
Well, it was working for me, where I could do both, baseball especially, because I was good at it and I was in demand. So I stayed with baseball, not knowing that I could make a future out of it, but just enjoying it so much. I was a good baseball player.
Were you here in the Twin Cities?
Yes. I did some workouts with them. The Minneapolis Millers, Buzzy Arlett, oh gee. I was an infielder. I played everything but first base. Shortstop, third base, second base. And I was good. It just came natural for me with Jackie Robinson, and he and I became very good friends. He knew I was good, and I knew he was good. Although he hadn't been given all the respect that early. He and I were about on the same level as far as respect.
And were you playing in clubs at this point as well?
Yes, I was.
Can you name some of the clubs?
Oh, they were local clubs. Treasure Inn, that was my home away from home.
Was it now?
That's when I really started being respected, I think. Treasure Inn.
So, did you have a band at that point, or did
I had a band from day one, just about. I was popular, not realizing how popular I was until after a while.
What was the clientele like in Treasure Inn?
Music lovers.
Dancers?
Yes, definitely.
That had to be fun.
Everybody loved my music for dancing.
How many pieces did you have in your orchestra?
Oh, 9, 10 pieces. And less sometimes. It depended on what the request was for.
Were you primarily hiring African-American musicians at that point, or was it a mixed group when you first started playing in the bands? Was that
black and white.
Easily accepted?
Pretty much so, because of Percy Hughes. That was one thing I was very proud of, because it's like I was able to get into the color scene. That was really my biggest ability, or to me, it was my biggest contribution, maybe.
Okay, so you had vocals as well. You're a vocalist yourself, right?
Yes.
And then you also had vocalists join you through the years, right?
Judy Perkins, who I married, pow, just like that, became popular.
Thank
you very much. Judy Perkins, once again, you're going to like this. You're going to like this to dance to. Also, watch it. Mack the Knife.
Oh, the shark cat. Pretty teeth here. And it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has a Mackie here. And it keeps it out of sight. When the shark bites, with his teeth here, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves wears a Mackie here, so there's not a trace of red. On the sidewalk early Sunday morning lies a little body just oozing life. Well, someone's sneaking around the corner. Could that someone be old Mack the Knife? Louie Miller, he disappeared, dear, after drawing up all his hard-earned cash. And Mackie danced just like a sailor. Could it be that our boy done something rash? From a tugboat way down by the river, a seaman bank jumped a dropping on down. The seaman's job for the waiting. Bible gets you 10. Old Mack is back in town to be child raised.
They called me a triple threat. I was a mailman, musician. I could play baseball, tennis, all that. But music, all of a sudden I know, hey, this is for me. I'm making good money, and I really enjoyed music. And that's how I began to realize I enjoyed music, because of the money coming in. Well, you're going to have me crying, because I miss it.
I will say that your contribution to the music world has already spoken for itself.
Yeah.
That's why I consider you one of the jazz legends here in our Twin Cities.
I'll accept it, because I think I was.
Let's talk about some of the other places you played. Treasure Inn was a huge success for you for, what, many years?
Gosh.
So when you were at the Flame, did you have your orchestra, several pieces?
I had my own band there.
Okay. I heard this, that sometimes the clientele included some mobsters.
Oh, yeah. Some hoods. And they were in my corner, so I didn't have to worry about them. Because I knew they liked me, and so it worked out fine.
But you knew who they were.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Those guys were neat. They treated me great. Kid Chan.
Yeah?
Yeah. And boy, he was protective. If anybody gonna bother you, let me know first. Music was good to me. Downtown, I can remember the hotels I played in. The Leamington, the Radisson, yes. Oh, the Point Supper
Club. Let's talk about the Point Supper Club. You were famous. Was Carol Martin singing with you at that point?
Carol was in there somewheres, and very popular, and we got along just perfect. Carol Martin, and was she ever popular?
Do you think Lake Hammond was instrumental in helping you put your career on the map by doing live radio programs of your band?
Oh, I think so, because I remember Lake so well. We were buddies. We sort of hung around together.
We got to talk about Echoes of Ellington.
Oh.
And your pal, Red Wolf.
Red Top!
Oh, Red and I were like relatives. Echoes of Ellington, I gave it that name. One of the hotels, Leamington, Radisson, dawned on me, hey, that's a good name, you know. And so that's what I called myself. The band became more and more popular.
Your relationship with Red Wolf created a day for you in your honor, and it was proclaimed by Governor Rudy Perpich. 50 years in the music business, and
we did a lot of things together.
You were the very first African-American to be inducted into the Minnesota Music Hall of Fame, it said.
I guess I was, wasn't
yeah.
I? I did not grow up with color.
Red Top!
Later in life, you worked a lot with Irv Williams.
Irv was my tenor sax man for quite a while. And we got along well. When I was the leader, he was my side man. But he wasn't a side man for long.
If you were to talk about a highlight of music for you, what would be the first thing you'd say?
Getting into the downtown clubs. I'll never forget my first job at the Radisson. And the Radisson was big time. And here comes this black guy getting with his band, getting a gig, a steady gig at the Radisson Hotel. I lasted a long time in there. Peggy Lee, I'll never forget her because I started her downtown. She was so nice. She wanted to go on a tour with me too.
Yeah.
And back at that time, something told me, it ain't gonna work. because she was white and I was black. And there was still some of that, excuse me, crap going on. We were good friends, and I told her, I don't think it'll work, Peggy. I was very outspoken because I had the respect of most people. Another thing I was very proud of is the fact that I did things for the University of Minnesota. I was an instructor over there as a player helping students.
So Reginald Buckner had you at the University of Minnesota, and you were connected with the music department, but specifically he liked it when you taught the kids what improvising means.
Yeah.
As a musician and a leader, gave back not only to the community but to our children. You taught them such an important part of jazz.
I did, and I enjoyed it. I liked it.
How did you learn how to improvise?
Doing it.
Percy, I love you.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Minnesota Jazz Legends, The Elders.